Title of our thoughts tonight simply is worship. Worship. And can I say that we've already worshiped both in song and in prayer. And now we're going to the Word of God. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Philippians chapter 2. And if you have a worksheet, you see that we are quickly going to go to Colossians chapter 1 and then Revelation chapter 5. And worship is to give adoration. Adoration. Have you ever been watching a sporting event and some player did something really good and the crowd starts bowing to them and doing that? You know, it's a sign of adoration. To show devotion or reverence, folks, we are to show devotion and reverence to our Lord. It shouldn't be something that we start in heaven. It's something we should be doing now. It's to honor and highly esteem. To honor and highly esteem. It's to glorify. You know, as we come here and we sing the songs, we do so to glorify our Lord. To glorify God of the universe. To adore. Now, I'm going to tell you this. It is something that we should strive to do, to adore our Lord. I've heard pastors say that we should regularly tell Jesus that we love him because of what he did for us. To cherish and to praise. Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 9, it's not like you haven't heard these words before. You have. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Notice, and you may want to write this down, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. That means the lost will bow before Jesus. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Even Lucifer will bow down and worship the Lord. And so, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 9. Again, familiar words that we will be reading here from this epistle. Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And this you may want to write down, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord. This is a form of worship when we walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to all his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who have delivered us from the power of darkness. Can I hear an amen there? Amen. You know, hell is going to be dark. There'll be no light in hell. And we have been delivered from the power of darkness and hath translated us unto the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, that we may walk worthy of the Lord. And then the book of Revelation chapter 5, the book of Revelation chapter 5. And we'll begin reading at verse 11 as we think about worship. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. Now, here they are, and this is their worship, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, and riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, as we come this evening to look at thoughts of worship, may we worship and adore you. May we praise your holy name. May we ever be grateful for all that you have done for us. And Lord, we look forward to that day in which you take us by the hand and welcome us into heaven's glory. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Seven thoughts on how we should worship. Number one, or W, willingly. Take your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Willingly. Do you believe that we should come willingly in the form of worship? It should not be something that we say, oh no, is it time to do that again? You know, it's not like having to clean the toilets at your house. It's not like some task that we have to do, like cutting the grass, and we have to do it, and you think, ah, not again. It is something that we should take joy in doing, worshiping willingly. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, let's begin reading at verse 9. For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. You may want to underline that verse. What a blessed thought. And herein I give my advice, and this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. A willing mind, a willingness. You know, there are a lot of things that we enjoy doing day by day. Let me give you an example. How many of you enjoy having Swiss cheese on a sandwich every day? Isn't that a blessing and a half? You know, we do that willingly. Now, I'm going to tell you something I do every day that I don't do it willingly. See, I have been told that if I drink every day some apple vinegar cider, every day, did I say it in the right order? No. Apple cider vinegar. What did I say? Now, I don't know if you've ever had this apple vinegar cider. Boy, I tell you what, I dilute it every day with apple juice. And it's helped my blood pressure come down. And that's a good thing, isn't it? I do it, but I don't want to do it. I eat Swiss cheese just about every day. I do it and I want to do it. In other words, shouldn't we willingly want to serve the Lord, to worship him, to sing songs of praise to him? You know, do you ever find yourself whistling a song that we sing here at the church? Do you ever find yourself doing that? You know, I put in the bulletin the Let Your Lower Lights Be Burning, and I couldn't get that song out of my mind for a day and a half. You know, we should want to do something that brings honor to our Lord. The O, orderly, orderly. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And we'll look at verse 40. Orderly. In other words, we need to come with the idea of worshiping in an orderly fashion. Lovingly, properly, on time. I tell you what, let's see what it says. Verse 40, let all things be done decently and in order. Folks, when we come to church, we ought to come with the right frame of mind. We should come with the right attitude. Orderly. Now, I don't know what the public schools are like today, but I do remember when I was in the fifth grade, our teacher left the room to go to the office. She left 26, 27, 28 students alone with one person to write down anybody's name that talked. The teacher came back about 10 or 15 minutes later. Were we all in a war chaos? We were all sitting in our seats. You know, the fact is, order is something that is right. Unfortunately, we have too much chaos in our society. Reverently, we are to worship reverently, the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Why is it that I remember that incident from the fifth grade? Reverently, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28 and 29. Hebrews 12, 28. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever wondered, either by yourself or out loud, why God doesn't show himself more powerful. That why he doesn't make certain things happen in the blatantness of sin in our society. I'll be honest with you, I read this verse where our God is a consuming fire. And there are times that I wish that our God would say, you're not going to do that. And there'd be some lightning strike from heaven. Wouldn't that be nice? I'm not showing much love here, am I? But we are to come reverently when it's time to worship. Not just come, but reverently. Reverently. S, sincerely. The book of Philippians chapter 1. We began in Philippians chapter 2. We are now asking you to turn to Philippians chapter 1, and we'll begin reading at verse 8. Verse 8. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense, till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God, that ye may be sincere and without what? Offense. In other words, we need to live a life that is careful, right? Because we do not want to offend someone in such a way that they turn away from the church, or that they turn away from the gospel, or that they turn away from the salvation that's being offered by Jesus Christ. And if we are not sincere, people will see it. If they see that we're just going through the motions, people will turn away. And in my opinion, sometimes that's why children turn away from churches, because they see that their parents aren't really sincere. They're just going through the motions. But we are to be sincere. H, humbly. Humbly. 1 Peter chapter 5. Humbly. Some of us may remember the song, Lord, It's Hard to Be Humble. Well, we are to be humble. We were in attendance there at the men's conference in Mansfield, Ohio, and the assistant pastor who led the singing was Reverend Humble. I've often wondered what it would be like to have a last name of Humble, or Chapel, or Church. So humble, or humbly we are to come. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, likewise ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with what? Humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace, where? To the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Now, I do not believe it is wrong to go to the Lord and ask why, but to do it in a humble spirit. Because sometimes we don't understand why things are happening the way they are. But go to him in a humble spirit and ask. When we pray, it's to be with a humble heart, knowing that God desires what's best for us. Letter I, individually. We'll begin reading at Romans chapter 14 and verse 10. It will be in verse 12 that we find our thought. But Romans 14, verse 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. See, the believer is going to come before Jesus Christ. And it says there, we shall what? All stand. Verse 11. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So that every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. For a number of years, I was trying to learn sign language. I had a couple of different teachers there at the Birmingham Bible Institute. And one of my teachers, April, had a hearing issue, and she was the one that taught me most of the time. And I never liked it when she would then talk to us individually and we had to respond. It just was so hard for me. And one day, one Tuesday evening, she got frustrated and she stood up from behind the desk and she walked over to me and she took my hand and said, do it this way. And then she realized that I was struggling with my fingers because my fingers are not very coordinated. And she said, oh, okay, and went back to her desk. But in other words, I was being judged individually. We're all going to be judged individually. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Can I ask you a question? Do you hope this questioning will be in private? Do you hope that nobody's going to be there when he says to you or to me, why'd you do that? And we bow our head and we think, oh, why did I do that? But when we come to worship, we need to do it individually. We do it as a group, but we're doing it individually. Do you remember the lesson that we just had about the two that went up to pray at the temple? And there was the Pharisee and there was the publican. And the one bragged about how good he was and the other beat upon his breast and said, be merciful unto me, O God. But were they not all together? Sure they were. We are going to worship as a group. But folks, there are times when we come that, would you say we are struggling with something in our life? That there is something going on and there may be temptation or disappointment or discouragement or depression and we're struggling. But we need to know that we're going to give an account for what we have done. P, the book of John, chapter 4. Now, before we read it, and before we go any further, we have willingly, orderly, reverently, sincerely, humbly, individually. What do you think the P is? Do you have a thought as to what the P could be? Yes, Mrs. Madonna. Prayerfully. Oh, that would have been good. That's not it. Let me write that down. Prayerfully. Anyone else? Patiently. I'm going to write that down. Patiently. Yes. Properly. What was that?
Properly.
Let me write that down. Anything, buddy else? You have a thought? Is the what the P could be? Before the L-Y, it's four letters. Starts with a P. Dum, 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 dum. How about purely? Purely. John chapter 4, Jesus is speaking here. We have been looking at thoughts from the Apostle Paul and from the Apostle Peter as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. But here we have a thought from Jesus himself. And he says, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, I know the word purely isn't there, but I believe that those who are worshiping in spirit and in truth must come purely, because the truth is the truth, correct? A lie is a lie, even if everyone believes it. And the truth is the truth, even if no one believes it. Jesus Christ said he is the way, the what? The truth and the life. Seven thoughts on how we should worship. I believe it's important that we come with the right frame of mind, the right attitude. Now, I'll be honest with you, there are times when we are coming from work or we have come from home and there have been discouraging thoughts or disappointments, and we come in that back door or in the glass doors and we come up into the worship and we don't want to talk to anybody. Now, because we're polite, we do. But we may not want to really interact, but I tell you this, when I have been in one of those frames of mind, within a song or two, I'm glad I'm here. And I'm glad that the Spirit has moved in, and I'm glad that we have come to honor and to worship our Lord. I can only imagine what it's going to be like with the millions upon millions of believers who sing honor and praise to our Lord and Savior. I hope, Pastor Stephen, that you and I both get to lead the choir at least once. Because I'm going to be able to hit all the high notes and all the low notes. But what a day that will be. Shall we stand together? 470 will be our song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. A decision to worship the Lord in action. Dear Heavenly Father, bless this invitation time, we pray, for your honor and glory. May the Spirit move. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.